you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, and hear from the minds transforming healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more with the help of AI. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Tracy from Stuff You Missed in History Class. Are you a small business owner or even someone who dreams of entrepreneurship? Then check out Season 2 of Mind the Business, small business success stories from iHeart Podcasts and Intuit QuickBooks. Join hosts Austin Hankwitz and Janice Torres as they interview entrepreneurs sharing insights around starting and nurturing a small business. You won't want to miss these inspiring stories of entrepreneurship and discovering ways to business differently so you can too.
Planning your next trip? Choice Hotels' family of 22 brands has over 7,400 locations and the perfect hotel for any traveler you want to be. Like a Cambria Hotel, serving up locally inspired craft cocktails for all my folks who maybe want to meet up and talk about Mad Royals. Check into a Radisson Hotel with flexible workspaces for you strivers who listen during business travel. Or a Comfort Hotel with free hot breakfast, family-friendly pools, and big spacious rooms for the parents who listen with their kids and need a little retreat. What are you waiting for? Join Choice Privileges and start earning points toward your next stay. Find a stay for any you when you book direct at choicehotels.com, where travels come true.
Looking to part ways with complicated, expensive, and uncertain shipping? Then give your business the edge it needs with USPS Ground Advantage shipping from the United States Postal Service. Keep everything simple with clear upfront pricing and no unexpected surcharges. Keep things affordable with some of the lowest prices out there. And keep it all reliable with on-time ground shipments. It's time to turn shipping to your advantage. Learn how at usps.com/advantage. USPS Ground Advantage. Simple, affordable, reliable. Happy Saturday. Not long ago, we did a podcast on Andrew Carnegie, and one of the questions that we got from listeners afterward was why we had not discussed the Johnstown flood. Carnegie was a member of the South Fork Fishing and Hunting Club, which owned the dam that failed in that flood, and the whole area had a number of other connections to Carnegie Steel.
Carnegie contributed to relief efforts after the flood, and he funded the building of a new library for the town. But neither he nor any of the other members of the club ever expressed any responsibility for the disaster.
So there's a whole episode about that flood in the archive. It's from 2012, from past hosts Sarah and Dublina. And since it came up in our listener mail recently, we thought we would share it again today.
Welcome to Stuff You Missed in History Class from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hello and welcome to the podcast. I'm Dublina Chakraborty.
And I'm Sarah Dowdy.
And depending on where you live, you've probably gotten used to the threat of a particular type of natural disaster. I remember where I grew up, it was always tornadoes that people were afraid of and that came through the area a lot. Mm-hmm. And when I lived on the Gulf Coast, it was hurricanes, of course.
Yes. And for the 30,000 people who lived in Johnstown, Pennsylvania in 1889, what they had gotten used to dealing with was floods.
Yeah, located in a floodplain at the confluence of two rivers, Johnstown flooded really frequently, so it was pretty common to see water in the streets, and locals had gotten used to moving their valuables and themselves to the upper floors of their homes when the floodwater started to roll in.
They had kind of a routine
exactly. Dealing
with it.
But on May 31st, 1889, a flood of such magnitude hit the town that even those who were holed up in their homes' upper levels weren't ready for it. It's been called one of the worst disasters in American history, and nobody in Johnstown really saw it coming. So that's partially because there was more to this natural disaster than just nature, and that's part of what we're going to take a look at today.
First, though, we're going to paint a little picture of Johnstown for you so you can understand why it flooded so frequently in the first place, and then just what kind of community it was at the time, too. So 19th century Johnstown was a busy industrial town in southwestern Pennsylvania. And according to an article by Amy Lynn Brown in National Parks, entrepreneurs had not too long before turned it into a larger industrial sort of production area of steel and iron. And not long before that, it had just been this small rural community. So a real dramatic change for Johnstown. And it had a burgeoning working class community that lived there, too.
The town itself was kind of hemmed in by the Little Conemaugh and the Stony Creek Rivers, which ran along the edges of Johnstown and then merged on the town's western end to form the Conemaugh River. These rivers flooded the town at least once every year, and there were a couple of reasons for that, a couple of possible, I guess, instigators
expected
for the flooding.
Flooding causes.
Right. One was snow melting and draining from the nearby Allegheny Mountains into the rivers in the springtime specifically, which would cause the rivers to overflow. And then, of course, at any time of year, heavy rain could also cause flooding.
Flood the river. So those were the natural surroundings of the town. But there was also a man-made body of water that was nearby. It was 14 miles up the Little Conemaugh River, and it was called Lake Conemaugh, although don't think of it as some sort of natural lake. It was originally called the Western Reservoir, and it had originally been created to supply water for the Pennsylvania Canal that went between Johnstown and Pittsburgh. But the canal system became obsolete not long after the reservoir project was complete. So not having anything to do with this large body of water, the reservoir was sold and had a few different owners before it was finally sold to the South Fork Fishing and Hunting Club in 1879. The club made this former reservoir into a bit of a ritzy social affair almost.
It did, and it was an organization to which many prominent Pennsylvanians belonged, including big names like Andrew Carnegie, Henry Clay Frick, and Andrew Mellon. And members would go to this club to kind of escape the industrial environs of Pittsburgh and enjoy things like fishing, sailing, even musical performances. And it was the club that renamed the reservoir Lake Conemaugh. Just an important note to make here, the dam that kept Lake Conemaugh contained, the South Fork Dam, was essentially made of packed dirt and rocks, and it had not been kept up properly for a number of years by the time it came into the club's possession.
Well, and most disturbingly, somebody had even taken out the dam's drainage pipes at some point in order to sell them for scrap. So there wasn't any way to drain the reservoir in order to make repair. So even if you had wanted to repair the dam, you would not have been able to.
According to the Johnstown Flood Museum, when the South Fork Fishing and Hunting Club took over, it started maintaining the dam a little bit better. But they also made some changes to it that made it even less safe. For example, they added some screens across the spillway to keep the expensive game fish that they'd stock the lake with from escaping, and this prevented the spillway from draining the lake's overflow. They also made the dam a couple feet lower so that two carriages could pass over it at the same time.
So this is, we've painted a picture of what the situation was like in May of 1889. And from a weather standpoint, that spring had been rather unique. According to an article by Emily Lorditch in WeatherWise, a series of storms had led to record-breaking rainfall that year. So we're getting the perfect storm here, as you can tell. On May 31st, the residents of Johnstown were experiencing a particularly heavy storm, and Brown writes that rain was falling at a rate of an inch per hour, and rivers were running 6 to 7 feet above normal levels. By afternoon, the streets in town were already flooding, so people were going through their normal routine when there was a flood. Head up to the upper floors, ride out the storm, you know, put some of your belongings upstairs. Again, just a very typical sort of scene for Johnstown.
What they didn't know is that 14 miles up at Lake Conemaugh, a scene was taking place that was entirely unprecedented.
I'm Tracy V. Wilson from Stuff You Missed in History Class. Did you know small businesses make up 99.9% of all businesses in the United States? The world is powered by entrepreneurs. And if you're a small business owner or even someone dreaming of starting your own business, then you'll want to check out season 2 of Mind the Business, small business success stories from Ruby Studio, from iHeartMedia, and Intuit QuickBooks. And every episode, hosts Austin Hankwitz and Janice Torres talk to entrepreneurs about how they've grown from the the lessons of launching and nurturing a small business, and how they have found success being their own boss. From the excitement of first starting out to finding the right tools and resources to process invoices and payments like QuickBooks Money, you won't want to miss these inspiring stories of entrepreneurship and discovering ways to business differently so you can too. And if you're a small business owner or even someone dreaming of starting your own business, then you'll want to check out season 2 of Mind the Business, Small Business Success Stories from Ruby Studio, from iHeartMedia, and Intuit QuickBooks.
When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Class as he hosts season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast from Ruby Studio in partnership with Intel. Explore the future of technology that's rapidly evolving our world today with the help of AI. There is still so much work and research needed to fully understand the power and potential of AI, and Intel is at the forefront of implementing AI in revolutionary technology that's changing the world we live in for the better. In each episode, Graham interviews the minds transforming medicine and healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more, while pioneering new uses for AI in these spaces. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. If you use paper, you're a human. But if you choose paper, you're a papertarian, someone who lives a paper-based lifestyle because it has a positive impact on the planet. And also because it's the easiest choice you'll make all day, seriously. It's as easy as reaching for boxed instead of bottled water. It's as easy as opting for beauty products that come in paper packaging. It's as easy as grabbing eggs in a cardboard container. And that's all in one trip to the grocery store, which, if everyone's being honest, you were planning to go to anyway. But paper isn't just an easy choice. Papertarians know that it's the smart choice, too. Because paper comes from trees, a renewable and sustainably managed resource, and paper products are designed to be recycled. In fact, when you choose products that come in paper-based packaging, those fibers can go on to be recycled up to 7 times. So why wouldn't you go papertarian? Learn more at howlifeunfolds.com/papertarian. Planning your next trip? Choice Hotels has a stay for any traveler you want to be, with 22 brands and over 7,400 locations. Whether you're a business traveler, a family road tripper, someone who wants to seek out history and maybe make your own, or just planning a quick getaway, Choice Hotels has a stay for any you. Like a Cambria Hotel, where you can be a cocktail connoisseur and sip locally inspired craft beverages at downtown locations in the center of it all. This is a fun way to visit cities with a lot of history and a lot of fun in mind. Or a Radisson Hotel, for all our productivity powerhouses out there. With flexible workspaces and on-site restaurants, you'll get the most out of your work trip. You'll get the coffee, the Wi-Fi, and the work done. And we can't forget about comfort hotels. Imagine you're a family road tripper, waking up in your big spacious room and then heading down to a free hot breakfast for the entire family, including waffles. So you'll be well-fed and ready for the day's adventure, even if that's just relaxing. After that, you're spending all afternoon relaxing by the pool. You deserve it. What are you waiting for? Join Choice Privileges and start earning points toward your next stay. Find a stay for any you. Book directly at choicehotels.com, where travels come true.
The depth of the water of the 450-acre lake was 60 feet near the dam, and officials at the club had been watching that level continue to rise during this storm with great concern, of course. The morning of May 31st, they were so worried about the dam collapsing that they actually started to think about taking action. And I mean, people in Johnstown, just another aside here, had sort of known that the dam failing, the dam breaking down, was a possibility because of the condition of the dam. And some people even joked about it. And this kind of reminds me of when you do live in an area where a certain type of natural disaster is sort of prevalent. Like, I remember living on the coast, and when hurricanes would come, there were always people who just sort of didn't really take it seriously.
Grim jokesters.
Yeah, exactly. There's always that contingent of people, I think. But in this case, when the people at the club saw what was happening, they did try to take a few steps, as I said, to keep the dam from failing. They, for example, added dirt to the top. They also dug a second spillway to relieve the pressure, and they removed the screens that kept the stocked fish from escaping.
But it was too late.
It was too late at this point.
Nothing they did was able to help. And at about 3 p.m. that day, people at the club and in the nearby community of South Fork watched in shock as the dam, quote, just moved away, sending 20 million tons of water barreling down the valley, of course, headed right toward Johnstown in just a matter of minutes. And according to Gene Allen's book, Floods, the club wasn't completely they were trying to take efforts to save the dam, but there was also a warning sent out. I mean, a couple guys had ridden through town earlier shouting warnings that the dam was about to fail, but people didn't really listen. I mean, like you were just talking about, there's kind of an almost joke, like maybe the dam will fail, but people didn't really think that was going to happen.
Within an hour of the dam failing, though, that 20 million tons of water finally did reach Johnstown. It was traveling at speeds of anywhere from 20 to 40 miles per hour, and by the time it reached the town, it was said to have had as much force as Niagara Falls, which is just a stunning comparison to me.
Well, and it created a tidal wave, too.
It did. It was a tidal wave of water that was 40 feet high and carried all sorts of debris with it by the time it hit Johnstown, including industrial and farm debris, houses, barns, animals, even people, both dead and alive. The townspeople were totally blindsided by this. Some people only heard a thunder-like sound as the wave approached. Apparently, it only took 10 minutes, basically, to wash the entire town away.
Yeah, and really, the entire town was washed away. Trains, entire homes just swept up in the wave. So, of course, people were swept up in it, too. Some, of course, drowned right away in the flood of rushing water. Others were killed or injured by the debris that was in the water. A lot of people, and this is maybe one of the more horrifying aspects of the flood, so a lot of people, about 300 to 400, ended up surviving initially, but then getting swept away by the rushing water and getting trapped up against this large stone bridge that was owned by the Pennsylvania Railroad Company. And this bridge was actually blocking a lot of the stuff that was rushing through the town, you know, boxcars, barbed wire, big chunks of homes, dead animals, creating this log jam, essentially. All the debris, though, clogging the bridge eventually did catch fire, and the people trapped against the bridge, of course, died at that point. Again, just one of the most horrifying aspects of this already horrifying story. Ultimately, though, about 2,209 people died in this disaster. And just to give you a sense of what those numbers mean for a town of Johnstown's size, it's something like one out of every 10 people in the town.
770 of the victims were never identified, and the number that Sarah just put out about the number of people total who died, that included 99 entire families. 1,600 homes were destroyed, and $17 million in property damage was done. So that was just to give you an idea of the toll that this disaster took. Some people, however, did survive by riding out the flood in their homes or in the upper stories of other buildings in town. Others took a crazy ride down the Conemaugh River and were later rescued somewhere downstream, which is just wild to me. I mean, I know I just said it's crazy and then I said it's wild, so I said that twice. But
it is. I have nothing to add to that. It's hard to imagine.
Being carried alive.
With barns and yes, dead animals going along with you. But as you can imagine, either of those survival scenarios were pretty harrowing. And there are, fortunately, a lot of examples, though, a lot of records from the flood. So we're able to see what it was like for people and how they managed to survive. And one story that gets retold a lot is the story of a six-year-old girl named Gertrude Quinn Slatterly, who was swept away by floodwaters while she was hanging on to this muddy mattress as a kind of raft. And as she recalled, she was terrified. She was calling out for someone to help her. And this man dove into the water to save her. He made his way over to her onto the mattress, lifted her up. And she later wrote of the experience, quote, "I put both arms around his neck and held onto him like grim death. Together we went downstream." And miraculously, they eventually reached this white building where men were leaning out the window trying to nab people as they came by, rescuing people. And the rescuer threw Gertrude through the air. Some people later said it was as much as 15 to 20 feet through the air to safety for the other guys to be able to catch her.
I'm Tracy V. Wilson from Stuff You Missed in History Class. Did you know small businesses make up 99.9% of all businesses in the United States? The world is powered by entrepreneurs. And if you're a small business owner or even someone dreaming of starting your own business, then you'll want to check out season 2 of Mind the Business, small business success stories from Ruby Studio, from iHeartMedia, and Intuit QuickBooks. And every episode, hosts Austin Hankwitz and Janice Torres talk to entrepreneurs about how they've grown from the lessons of launching and nurturing a small business, and how they have found success being their own boss. From the excitement of first starting out to finding the right tools and resources to process invoices and payments like QuickBooks Money, you won't want to miss these inspiring stories of entrepreneurship and discovering ways to business differently so you can too. And if you're a small business owner or even someone dreaming of starting your own business, then you'll want to check out season 2 of Mind the Business, small business success stories from Ruby Studio, from iHeartMedia, and Intuit QuickBooks.
When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast from Ruby Studio in partnership with Intel. Explore the future of technology that's rapidly evolving our world today with the help of AI. There is still so much work and research needed to fully understand the power and potential of AI, and Intel is at the forefront of implementing AI in revolutionary technology that's changing the world we live in for the better. In each episode, Graham interviews the minds transforming medicine and healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more, while pioneering new uses for AI in these spaces. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. If you use paper, you're a human. But if you choose paper, you're a papertarian, someone who lives a paper-based lifestyle because it has a positive impact on the planet. And also because it's the easiest choice you'll make all day, seriously. It's as easy as reaching for boxed instead of bottled water. It's as easy as opting for beauty products that come in paper packaging. It's as easy as grabbing eggs in a cardboard container. And that's all in one trip to the grocery store, which, if everyone's being honest, you were planning to go to anyway. But paper isn't just an easy choice. Papertarians know that it's the smart choice, too. Because paper comes from trees, a renewable and sustainably managed resource, and paper products are designed to be recycled. In fact, when you choose products that come in paper-based packaging, those fibers can go on to be recycled up to 7 times. So why wouldn't you go papertarian? Learn more at howlifeunfolds.com/papertarian. Planning your next trip? Choice Hotels has a stay for any traveler you want to be, with 22 brands and over 7,400 locations. Whether you're a business traveler, a family road tripper, someone who wants to seek out history and maybe make your own, or just planning a quick getaway, Choice Hotels has a stay for any you. Like a Cambria Hotel, where you can be a cocktail connoisseur and sip locally inspired craft beverages at downtown locations in the center of it all. This is a fun way to visit cities with a lot of history and a lot of fun in mind. Or a Radisson Hotel, for all our productivity powerhouses out there. With flexible workspaces and on-site restaurants, you'll get the most out of your work trip. You'll get the coffee, the Wi-Fi, and the work done. And we can't forget about comfort hotels. Imagine you're a family road tripper, waking up in your big spacious room and then heading down to a free hot breakfast for the entire family, including waffles. So you'll be well-fed and ready for the day's adventure, even if that's just relaxing. After that, you're spending all afternoon relaxing by the pool. You deserve it. What are you waiting for? Join Choice Privileges and start earning points toward your next stay. Find a stay for any you. Book directly at choicehotels.com, where travels come true.
Another woman, Anna Fenn Maxwell, was in her home with her 7 children when the flood hit. She survived, but unfortunately her kids weren't so lucky. The Johnstown Flood Museum actually shares how she described the scene, and it's pretty sad. She said, quote, "The water rose and floated us until our heads nearly touched the ceiling. It was dark, and the house was tossing every way. The air was stifling, and I could not tell just the moment the rest of the children had to give up and drown. What I suffered with the bodies of my 7 children floating around me in the gloom can never be told."
Yeah, so pretty powerful story. And the Johnstown Flood Museum's website shares several survival stories like this. Some are more uplifting than others, of course. In some cases, too, we should say entire families did survive, but it seems like you would have had to have been very lucky, and all your family members would have had to have been quite lucky for that to be the case. One thing that is remarkable about this flood, though, the relief efforts began pretty much immediately, and people all over donated clothing and food, lumber, medical supplies, money. Doctors came to town to help treat the injured. Within 5 days, Clara Barton and her newly established American Red Cross were in town. It was the first peacetime disaster that the organization assisted in, and they really did a lot. They built warehouses for donated supplies to be stored, hotels for the homeless. Buildings that were still standing were repurposed into makeshift morgues to avoid the spread of disease, all of that sort of stuff. It seems kind of unbelievable, but all of these recovery efforts seem to have paid off almost immediately. According to Brown's article, it only took a month for businesses to reopen and only 5 years for the cleanup effort to be completed.
This wouldn't be the last time, however, that Johnstown would have to deal with floods, even though the South Fork Dam was already destroyed. So you would think, oh, this big threat is taken away, so that's not an issue. But in 1936, Johnstown was hit with 14 feet of floodwaters caused by heavy rains combined with snow runoff. 24 people died in this case, and 3,000 buildings were damaged or destroyed. Then in July 1977, there was another flood caused by a line of thunderstorms that stalled over the area, and also the fact that several dams failed contributed to this. In this case, 85 people died, and there was more than $300 million in property damage. And after this third flood, the town's economy didn't recover as well as it did the first couple times.
Well, you can imagine, though, even after the 1889 flood, there was a lot of discussion about who was to blame. Because as we've discussed, there was clearly more going on than just the natural forces, you know, the dam and its maintenance. And many people did blame the South Fork Fishing and Hunting Club for not taking more steps to prevent the dam failure in the first place. Suits were even filed against the club, but they never really went anywhere. And in discussing how the flood of 1889 didn't have to happen, Brown points to general industrialization and population growth in the area really being to blame. I mean, we talked about that at the beginning of the show, how this had not too long before turned from a rural agricultural area where some flooding wasn't terribly devastating, at least to life, to a densely populated industrial area.
She includes a couple of quotes, too, that speak really well to this. One is from David McCullough, who is a former podcast interviewee, and he wrote a book. His first book, I think, was about the Johnstown flood. He said, quote, "With the valley crowding up the way it was, the need for lumber and land was growing apace. As a result, more and more timber was being stripped off the mountains and near hills, and in Johnstown, the river channels were being narrowed to make room for new buildings. Where the forests were destroyed, spring thaws and summer thunderstorms would send torrents racing down the mountainsides, and each year the torrents grew worse as the water itself tore away at the soil and what little ground cover there was left." So this kind of helps explain how the industrialization of the area would make the flooding worse.
Yeah, taking away the natural buffers that could have helped alleviate natural floods and then making everything worse, too. Brown also quotes Megan O'Malley, who is the chief of interpretation at the Johnstown Flood National Memorial. And she says, quote, "We call the flood a natural disaster, but it was a disaster that occurred from a combination of natural events and human manipulation of the environment. We see this happen over and over in human history. We create preconditions for disaster, and then disaster occurs."
And I know similar arguments are often made about more recent natural disasters.
Certainly. I mean, you see it pretty much every time there's a natural disaster, maybe with the exception of tornadoes, because I think everybody understands there's not a whole lot you can do about that. But earthquakes, hurricanes, floods, every time you'll see a discussion that's similar to that one. I guess it's just the way of the world.
Thank you so much for joining us for this Saturday Classic. Since this is out of the archive, if you heard an email address or a Facebook URL or something similar during the course of the show, that may be obsolete now. So here is our current contact information. We are at historypodcast@howstuffworks.com, and then we're at Missed in History all over social media. That is our name on Facebook, Twitter, Tumblr, Pinterest, and Instagram. Thanks again for listening.
For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit HowStuffWorks.com.
Get emotional with me, Radhi Devlukia, in my new podcast, A Really Good Cry. We're going to be talking with some of my best friends.
I didn't know we were going to go there on this.
People that I admire.
When we say listen to your body, really tune in to what's going on.
Authors of books that have changed my life.
Now you're talking about sympathy, which is different than empathy, right?
Never forget, it's okay to cry as long as you make it a really good one. Listen to A Really Good Cry with Radhi Devlukia on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in L.A., and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your hosts of TMI. And catch us every Wednesday on the Black Effect Network, breaking down social and civil rights issues, pop culture, and politics in hopes of pushing our culture forward to make the world a better place for generations to come. Listen to TMI on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right. That's right.